Well, and with me to start today with a bit of an apology, because I haven't been doing something that I feel like I've been called to do in this congregation. You see, it's been over 9 months now since I last mentioned college football from And now this morning, I come to you not presenting this option of speaking of college football because my Ohio State Buckeyes are now 2-0 on the year. But I come to you this morning to discuss college football because there's a term there I would like to lift out to you folks to help explain it to you so that we can come to a better understanding. Now, this is a term that we often use freely and loosely without really thinking about why we use this term. And the term that I would like to highlight for you this morning is the term goal. G-O-A-L. When a football team gets the ball within the 10-yard line, or there's less than 10 yards between, or when there's less than 10 yards between the ball and the end zone, we say that it is first and goal. When the team kicks the ball through the upright, we call that a field goal. That thin white line that separates the end zone from the playing field, we call, anybody guess? The goal line. So this is the way that we use the word goal in football. So where do we come to that term? Where do we get that from? When we think about setting goals in our lives, when we set goals, these are things that we wish to achieve, things that we want to accomplish, things that we work toward. Now, a college football team isn't any different. The goal is something that they are working toward as a team. They want to take that ball and cross the goal line. This is the goal that they have set as a group, a goal that they have set as a team. They desire to take that ball and get it into the end zone. And to do that, they must achieve a goal. Now, unfortunately, for anybody who might be a Michigan Wolverine fan, your team did not achieve that goal too often the last couple weeks. I can't say that about Penn State, though. They did win yesterday. So today we're going to talk a little bit about goals and what it means to achieve goals that we have set and what it means to continue to work together to press on towards the goals that we have set. We're going to see that goals are necessary. The world tells us that if we really want to achieve something, we need to set goals. And I know that I personally set goals for myself every day when I wake up in the morning. If you're anything like me, when you first get out of bed, you start thinking, well, what do I need to do today to make it a success? Perhaps I need to water the plants or pick scripture for the next Sunday. Maybe I want to go for a walk. Maybe I have chores that I need to do, or read another chapter in a book. I set these goals, and I work for them throughout the day. And when I achieve these goals, it gives me a sense of accomplishment, like I have done something. To use the words of the Apostle Paul, it does refresh my heart. Now, if I was to say, achieve a goal early, like for instance, in our home, Saturday is usually laundry day. If I get the laundry done on Thursday, if I achieve that goal early, does that mean that I'm done for the rest of the week? That there's nothing left for me to do because I have achieved my goal? No. If we really want to grow, if we want to continue to get better in life, we have to keep setting goals. We don't just rely on the goals that we have achieved. We continue to set new goals and to strive towards them. This is how we continue to grow as Christians, as husbands and wives, as parents, as friends, and as human beings. We set goals, reach for them, work for them, and when we achieve them, we set new goals to continue to push ourselves. So today we're going to be looking at the book of Philemon, a book that was written by the Apostle Paul, and it was written as a letter to this man named Philemon. And in this short letter, we will find that Paul is joyful whenever he achieves the goals that he has set. But he does not just simply enjoy the goals that he has achieved, but he goes out and he sets new goals and continues to push himself towards these new goals. And not only does he set goals for himself, he sets goals for those around him as well. He sets goals for his fellow believers in Christ and helps them to work towards these goals. So Paul and his friends, his fellow believers, continue to try to better themselves by working towards new goals. Now, Nelson read for us earlier a large portion of this book that we refer to by the name of Philemon. The book of Philemon is only 25 verses in length. But in those 25 verses, we find a whole lot of theology that we can dig into and just learn so much about what the Lord requires of us and what the Lord expects for us to do. Now, in this passage of Scripture, we have three main characters. We have the Apostle Paul, who many of us are familiar with. He's the author of many of the books of the New Testament. And in this book, we find that Paul is in chains in Rome. He is in prison for serving God, for preaching the gospel in the world that he interacts with. He's in chains and in prison for spreading the good news. We also have Philemon, who is the leader of a house church in the city of Colossae. And third and final main character that we find is Onesimus, who is a slave to the man Philemon. So let's jump in today into today's scripture and see what we can find from these three characters and what God expects of us when we are to set goals and to work for them. Now, as we look at this scripture for today, we find this man named Philemon. Philemon is the leader of a house church in the city of Colossae. Now, we look at the story here, and we find that Philemon was mentored by Paul at some point during his life. It's likely that Philemon came to know Jesus Christ through Paul. And because of this, Paul received much joy when he hears the good news that Philemon is bearing much fruit in this house church in Colossae. Now, anybody that has ever mentored somebody, or if you've ever provided spiritual direction, or led somebody to Christ, knows that you get a lot of joy by seeing that person grow. It can truly give you joy and a light heart by seeing that the work that you've done is now bearing fruit in somebody else. And that's exactly what Paul is telling us in verse 7 when he writes, "Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints." Paul is excited. He knows where Philemon was, and he knows where Philemon is today. He knows that at one time Philemon was just this pagan, and now is a leader of a church, and now a leader of his house church in Colossae. And knowing that, and knowing that he had a part of that, gives Paul great joy. Now, Paul never specifically says that leading people to Christ or to see them grow as leaders is one of his goals, but we can safely assume that this was one of Paul's goals. He sought out to see lives changed in the name of Jesus Christ. He wanted to see people grow to know Christ in the way that he did in his time. Now, I feel a bit like Paul today when I look out on this congregation, because I too know what it's like to see my goals met and to continue to grow and to seek new goals for the people that I am working with and loving. My heart has truly been refreshed by you people here at Standing Mennonite Church. Because as Paul says, your love has given me great joy and encouragement. Your love has refreshed my heart. You see, last week I preached from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. And in Hebrews chapter 13, we learn that we are to let mutual love abound. We are to provide hospitality for one another. We are to think of and pray for those in prison. And that we are also not supposed to love money. These are things that I preached about last Sunday. And then this past week, I had the opportunity to visit Maxine. I didn't warn her that I was going to say her name today, but I had a chance to visit Maxine as she was staying with Lucille Solitan. Lucille had opened up her home to Maxine to allow her to come there to relax a little bit as she recovered from her shoulder surgery. Now, Maxine had also been offered a place to stay by other people in this congregation. Other people had been hospitable toward her. Many people came to visit her while she was in the hospital. The people of this congregation have truly practiced hospitality. And the way that you have practiced hospitality has indeed refreshed my heart. Now, we've heard earlier today about the way that Ronald has spent time visiting with Jordan and Sudan in the prisons. And we know that because of the work that Ronald has done there, that both of these young adults have chosen to give their life to following Jesus Christ. They have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and have chosen to follow Him. Now, I know that many of you have spent a lot of time praying for these individuals, and you have spent a lot of time thinking about them, and some of you have even written letters to these people as well. Now, the way that you people have reached out to those in prison, just like the Apostle Paul said in Hebrews, has truly refreshed my heart. Now, as I look in the back of the church, I can see on the little sign that our offering last Sunday was $1,892.55. A few minutes ago, Jim dumped a $50 bill in this can right here. And that is the largest giving, the largest offering I have ever seen from this congregation. Just last week, I preached about not loving money. And here you are being so generous with your money. Money that you could have kept for yourself, spent on yourself, bought yourself new things. But you have chosen not to love money, but instead to support the ministry of this church, to support the ministry of these missionaries overseas. The way that you have chosen to not love money has refreshed my heart in Christ. All three of these things were things that I preached about last Sunday. And when I preach about these things, I do, in my mind, set goals for the congregation. And you have achieved each one of those three goals. And knowing this does indeed refresh my heart, just as the Apostle Paul's heart was refreshed when he heard of the good works that Philemon was doing in this house church in Colossae. But do you know what refreshes my heart even more? It's the fact that I can't take credit for any of it. You see, the hospitality that was extended to Maxine, that was done before I began to preach last Sunday. The times that Robert has visited with those in prison, the thoughts and prayers that you have offered up for these young Christians, you did all these things before I told you to do them. The offering that was taken last Sunday, well, that plane was passed long before I got up to preach on Sunday. It refreshes my heart to know that you wish to do these things on your own. Not because somebody is forcing you to do them. My heart is refreshed because you choose to do them. You choose to be faithful followers of Jesus Christ. And that refreshes my heart. So we have achieved some of these goals. We have done them. So now what? Do we simply stop and be happy with what we have achieved? Or do we continue to press on? The Apostle Paul tells us himself that he always is pressing on towards the next goal. And one place in which he tells us this is in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, where he talks about pressing on towards the goal. And he says this in chapter 3, verse 13, "But one thing I do, forgetting about what is behind and straining toward what is ahead." Now, many times I have read this verse, and I think, you know what that's about? That's about forgetting about the junk in your past. That's about forgetting about the things that are holding you back, keeping you from being the best person that you can be in Christ's name, being the best minister, being the best whatever you're called to do. But as I read through this verse again, and I read the context in which Paul is writing, Paul's not talking about just the junk in your past. He's not saying just forget about the bad stuff back there and press on towards the next goal. He's saying forget about the good stuff as well. He's saying all these things that I've achieved, all these things that I have done, I consider them nothing but rubbish. Because there is one more goal that I must press on, and that is to know Jesus Christ and to make Him known. It's not just the junk in the past that we need to forget. He's saying forget the good stuff too and move on towards the next goal. Now, I think Paul says this maybe a little too strongly for my taste. I agree with what he's trying to say, the message he's trying to convey. But we don't necessarily have to forget about the victories that we've had, about the goals we've reached. Because these things can be used to motivate us. They can be used as stepping stones for us. We can use them as a platform to reach the next goal. So when Paul says forget the things in the past, that's a bit strongly stated. But don't rely upon them. Don't dwell upon them. When you have achieved something, we can celebrate that victory in a small way, but set new goals and keep pressing on. And that is exactly what Paul was doing with Philemon's work. Paul was very happy that Philemon had achieved the things that he had achieved. Paul was very happy that Philemon was now leading this church in Colossae. Paul was happy that Philemon was bearing fruit in the name of Jesus Christ. But he said, here's one more goal for you to work towards. That next goal for you is reconciliation with your former slave, Onesimus. There's no doubt in my mind that Paul was happy with what Philemon had done. He even says so in this letter to him. But he said, you must do more now. You must make the next step. You must reconcile with your former slave. Now remember the story about Onesimus. Onesimus was the slave of Philemon. And we don't have a lot of the story written down. But what we do know is that at one point, Onesimus decided that he was going to leave Philemon without Philemon's permission. It's even likely that he took some of Philemon's possessions or maybe some money with him. He may have robbed Philemon in some way. And Onesimus knew that he couldn't stay around in the city of Colossae if he was really going to be a free person. He knew he couldn't stay in that small town. It's a small town like Churchville. Everybody knows everybody. And if you were to see Onesimus walking around, you would recognize him and say, aren't you Philemon's slave? So he knew that if he was going to escape, he needed to go someplace far away, to a larger city, a place where visitors came frequently, and he wouldn't be recognized. He went to the city of Rome. And when Onesimus was in Rome, he came across a man who changed his life. He came across the Apostle Paul. Paul literally changed the life of Onesimus. And Onesimus became a follower of Jesus Christ, just as his slave owner had previously done years before. Paul was able to convert both Onesimus and Philemon. Now, Paul could have been happy with that achievement, but I'm sure that he was. He was glad that he was able to convert these people to Christianity. But he knew that they could not stop there if they truly wanted to grow in Christ. He knew that they needed to continue to set new goals if they wanted to grow as Christians. And Paul had a vision for them. His vision was reconciliation. His vision was for them to become as brothers in Christ. So we have set goals here at Standing Mennonite. And we have reached these goals many times. So are we to be content, or are we to be happy with the goals which we have accomplished? You see, there's a big difference between being content and being happy with them. I think, yes, we are to be happy with the things that we have seen. And I think back on the last 15 months that Donnie and I have been a part of this congregation, I have seen many of you grow and change. I have seen changing myself as well. I see many of us coming to a better understanding of who Christ is and what He expects of us. And that does truly make my heart happy. I am truly refreshed by that. But that doesn't mean that we need to be content with what we've accomplished. We continue to press on, continue to try to get better, continue to try to grow as Christians. Now, when Jesus was meeting with His disciples, He sat them down when they asked Him, Lord, teach us to pray. And in that prayer, Jesus provided a vision for the disciples. When He said, as He was praying to God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This was an overall vision for the disciples. They were to work to bring God's kingdom here on earth into a realization. But that is not a goal. The disciples needed individual goals, goals which they could accomplish and achieve to work towards that overall vision. And we all need these small, achievable goals to work towards as well. Now, I can't go out and tell each and every one of us what our goals should be. We have to decide that for ourselves because we are all in different places. For some people, it might be to spend a half an hour in prayer every day. For others, it might be to try to read through the Bible in a year. But because we are in different places, I can't just go out and tell you what your goal needs to be. You need to spend time praying about it, to think about what your goal should be, to become a better Christian, to become a better servant of Christ. But even if I cannot decide for you, that does not mean that I'm not willing to help you. I'm willing to be in consultation with you to help you discern how God has called you to set goals for yourself. And whenever you do set these goals for yourself, I will also be available to help you achieve those goals. And I would hope that everybody in this congregation would be available to help you achieve those goals as well. So while I cannot set these goals for you, I can help you decide on what goals you should work towards, and I can help you to try to achieve them. Now, I would encourage you when you are setting goals for yourself to be specific. To be vague is somewhat helpful, but to be specific will help us. We need small, specific goals that we can work towards and achieve. But what about the church? I'm just talking about at first here, our us as individuals. What are our goals for this congregation? Should we not have a vision for this congregation and goals to set to reach that vision? Well, I think the beginning place for us as a congregation is that vision that Jesus set forth for the disciples. That God's will be done and that His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That is my vision for this congregation. Now, how can we make it happen? What goals can we set for this congregation to achieve that vision? How might we work towards the vision that Jesus put in place for us so many years ago? I could come up with some ideas right here, some things that we could work toward. And I'm sure that you could as well. And I would love to hear your ideas. What goals should we be setting? Who should we be reaching out to? How should we minister to this area? Let us think together what goals we should be setting for ourselves as individuals and for this congregation as a whole. How might we work towards that overall vision that Jesus provided for us? How might we allow God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven? Now, Paul had set goals for Onesimus and Philemon. He had set a goal for Onesimus to go back to Philemon and to ask for his forgiveness. He had set a goal for Philemon to relieve Onesimus of any slavery, any bondage that he was in. These were achievable goals that worked towards the overall vision of reconciliation. We must work together as a congregation to set goals for ourselves as individuals and for the congregation. Now, Paul began this piece of scripture, this letter to Philemon, by saying that his heart has been refreshed by the choices that Philemon has made. Then as we find at the end of this chapter and verse, in verse 21, he says, "Refresh my heart in Christ again." He's encouraging Philemon to achieve this next goal, to refresh his heart again. Now you, Stanton Mennonite Church, you have refreshed my heart in Christ. I have seen growth in each and every one of you. But now I challenge you this. Refresh my heart in Christ again. How might we become better Christians? Let us set goals together as individuals and as a congregation. Let us work on them together, helping one another. And one day, perhaps God's kingdom will come. I'll take back that perhaps. One day God's will be done. And His kingdom will come on earth as it is in heaven. I began today by talking about a football team. We need to be like that football team, working together on the same side of the ball, going for the same goals. We may have individual goals, each and every one of us. For a football team, some are called to block, some are called to tackle, some are called to be receivers, some are called to be running backs, and one is called to be a quarterback. They are all working towards the same goal, even though they have individual goals. Let us do the same. Let us all have our individual goals in mind. But may the same main goal be our goal. May God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Will you please join me in prayer? Our gracious and loving Father, you have called us, your children. We have answered that call by accepting your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, that in and of itself does refresh my heart. Lord, help us all to continue to strive to be better, to grow stronger in your will and in your love. May we show that love to all we have to come in contact with. Help us, Lord, to refresh your heart in Christ once again. And it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.